And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 95 of Busy Kids Love Music, a podcast for music-loving families. I'm Carly Seifert, the creator of Busy Kids Do Piano, and I'm so excited that you're joining me today. And just a quick heads up that open enrollment for my online piano lesson programs opens up for 1 week only next Monday, May 1st. You can learn more about my program for kids at busykidsdopiano.com/membership or my program for adults at busymomsdopiano.com/membership, and I will pop links to those in this episode's show notes as well. We are continuing our Broadway month here on the Busy Kids Love Music podcast. And in our last episode, we talked about what it means to be a Broadway show and a little bit about the history of Broadway. And I am super excited about today's episode because when I went to New York City a few weeks ago to do some research on Broadway and attend a few shows myself, I actually had the chance to sit down with someone who works on Broadway. Meg Zervoulis is a music director, pianist, teacher, and arranger who was kind enough to sit down with me during my weekend in New York City and answer some questions about what her life and career look like. So I hope you'll enjoy learning a bit about what it means to be a music director on Broadway. All right, everybody. Hello. I am coming to you tonight from New York City. And I have with me here Meg Zervoulis, and she is a music director and pianist and arranger here in New York. And so she was so gracious with her time, even though she's in the middle of a busy day of rehearsals, to sit down and talk with me and just answer some questions about what it is like to be a working musician and work on Broadway and all kinds of things. So thank you, Meg, for being here. Do you mind just introducing yourself and maybe saying a little bit about what you do, and then we can kind of back up and talk about how you got into it?
Sure. I'm Meg Zervoulis, and I live in New Jersey, and I primarily work here in New York. I'm a Broadway music director and music educator, and also been, well, I don't know. Yeah, that's all.
Well, awesome. We'll get more into all of your different jobs and projects you're working on. But I want to talk about how you kind of got started, because a lot of our listeners are students who are maybe just learning to play instruments themselves. And so I was wondering, like, what that looked like for you when you were younger and how you sort of developed and trained your interest in music.
Sure. My dad is a musician, so we had a piano in the house, and we have old pictures of me playing piano at like the age of three. I had taken then piano lessons just because it seemed like there was an innate interest and skill there. I took lessons for a while. Then I went to Juilliard Prep School when I was eight. And I stayed with my teacher from that program all the way until college.
Okay. Was this in New Jersey? You grew up in New
Jersey? I grew up in New Jersey. I grew up in Bayonne, New Jersey. Okay. Yeah. So close enough to New York that once I started really seriously taking lessons and doing concerto competitions and stuff, it was all New York based.
Okay.
So we were traveling here every week. And then I went to college at Carnegie Mellon University for classical piano, because at that time there were no programs for music direction, although now my students are able to go to college for music direction, so that's really nice. And then, yeah, just one thing led to another.
Okay. Okay. So when you graduated with a degree in, you said, classical piano?
Mm-hmm.
So how did you start to kind of transition into more music direction and Broadway and that kind of thing?
So throughout even late high school, I had been working during the summers at a theater called Paper Mill Playhouse, which is located in New Jersey. And I kind of grew up working there and meeting people from the industry. Then while I was at CMU, I also got a minor in conducting through independent study. So I had been kind of escaping over to the drama school. I went to school when Patina Miller and Andrew Kober and Kara Lindsay were there. Michael Kuman, who is a composer. So I was able to kind of meet them and work with them, similar to how now we're all working together here in the industry, and just got really excited about that and had always been excited about music directing and music for theater. I left school, and then I was developing a new musical in New Jersey also. And then that got an off-Broadway run. So that was my first like professional New York City credit as a music director.
Okay, very cool. Yeah. And then just sort of grew with that kind of one thing leads to another.
Yes.
And I imagine too the proximity to New York City, that you always are in it and know people. Can you talk about now what a typical day looks like for you in your career as a working musician and director?
Sure. At the moment, it's probably the furthest towards the busy spectrum because I'm in tech for a new musical that I'm supervising called White Girl in Danger. And that's written by Michael R. Jackson, who created Strange Loop. So he's so wonderful and exciting. So I'm spending all day in tech rehearsals for that, and then conducting Funny Girl on Broadway in most evenings. So it's a pretty crazy schedule, and I have a 1-year-old, so I'm also, you know,
oh goodness,
it's a long day at this point in time.
But, yeah, you don't get much of a break, I imagine, or much sleep. So some of the current projects you're working on, Funny Girl, you said you conduct for that. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then your directing, what does that look like for?
You mean super, like the supervising stuff?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So music supervising is a kind of overreaching term that can sometimes mean you're conducting the piece. It can often mean that you're working with the writers and the director to kind of shape the piece and help with transitions and arrangements and you know, the orchestrator and designing the way that the band will sound or just the sound of the show. On this particular production, I will conduct up until opening night and then I'll return to Funny Girl while our brilliant associate, Anessa Marie, becomes music director and conducts.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So how long does that process usually take? Like now you're in rehearsal and then when does it premiere?
We started rehearsal for this project in February. We're in March now. Our first preview is March 15th, and then our opening is April 10th.
My goodness, that seems so fast.
Yes, it's fast. It's fast and long at the same time. I feel like when you zoom out and look at new musicals and how long they've taken to develop, it sometimes can be like a full quarter of your year. So looking at it that way, sometimes to me it feels long, but yes, if for us at this very moment, it feels very fast and we need more time always.
Okay. How long do rehearsals run, or like during the day, for example, like what's the length of a typical rehearsal for you?
Before we move into the theater, rehearsals for a new musical or a workshop are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mondays to Saturdays on average. When we move into the theater, at this particular theater, we're working from 12:30 to 10 p.m. with meal breaks, of course. And then once we add the band, the music team then works kind of all morning with the band, and then we continue with that long schedule. Broadway rehearsals are different. Broadway rehearsals, once the show is open, are usually only on Thursdays and Fridays for a few hours to keep the understudies up to speed. The only exception would be when we're adding new cast members, then we tend to rehearse more in the week. But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know you're also involved in the nonprofit world with Meister Music.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure.
And what they do?
Sure. So Meister Music is an organization that supports and uplifts female musicians and non-binary musicians. and it provides visibility, assistance in visibility. It supports through resources like technical workshops. We also have a mentorship program where kind of established professionals within the industry are paired with people who are either students or mid-career musicians who are looking for some assistance. And it's just a really beautiful organization that empowers and uplifts female musicians.
Okay. And where can people go to learn more about Maestra?
Maestra's website is maestramusic.org. And
I'll put a link in the episode show notes to make that. It easy to just click.
Yeah. On that page, you can kind of find other branches. And we work very closely with another organization called Muse, which is Musicians United for Social Equity. And that website is museonline.org. And both of those websites have a directory, which is, I find, like the best and most influential feature of both organizations, which is just a directory of musicians where you can use filters based on what they do or where they're located so that we can try to increase parity in the orchestras on Broadway by searching through these directories, kind of like a phone book.
Oh, okay.
To help musicians of color and female and non-binary players.
Okay. Oh, wow. Very cool. Yeah. What are some of your favorite things about your job, would you say?
I love collaborating with other people, which is, you know, the primary reason why eventually it just came to a point in the classical piano world where, you know, there's, it is amazing and you're, you know, you get to really go to your limits of skill and technique and expression. And at the same time, it can be lonely. And I find that I have become a better musician by working with the other musicians who are here in the industry. So I love that. And I just love learning new things. Right now, a lot of the shows I'm involved with have music technology in some way, shape, or fashion. And I love just kind of being in the room while those new techniques are being developed or experimented.
I bet that is fascinating. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, yeah, those are a few my favorite things.
What would you say are some of your the challenges in your career?
At the moment, it's definitely the schedule.
Imagine, yeah, especially having a one-year-old,
yes,
too.
Yeah, the balance of it. I would say that that's the leading challenge for sure. And then another challenge is something that we're all feeling right now, which is just the viability of shows being able to kind of really get a life that they deserve, and new musicals getting the kind of like the airwaves to get produced and get a theater and have a lot of people come see them. And it's a tricky time coming out of the pandemic at the moment for that. So that's like a current challenge that I feel like we're all feeling.
Mm-hmm. Would you have any encouragements for students out there who are thinking they might be interested in pursuing a career in music? Any advice or encouragement that you would give them?
Yes, I would say, well, keep practicing.
As
you know,
a piano teacher, I really like to hear that.
I mean, if you really ask throughout all of the bands on Broadway what, you know, if they practiced, or even many of them are still practicing, you know, religiously, they will pretty much all say that they, you know, practicing has been such an influential thing. And also very important is the connections that you make. So just putting yourself, if you have the resources, putting yourself in as many different circles of other musicians that you can. Meeting new writers, meeting, you know, playing chamber music, go read a sonata with someone. All of those things, you know, like the skills that I learned in playing concertos or playing a sonata or accompanying, you know, a Hindemith something, I'm using all of those skills still to play on Broadway. So that I feel like everything just kind of gathers together and comes to the result of making a career in music. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it is one of those unique things I was thinking about this, how it's not like you just decide you're going to be a musician the way you could with certain careers. I mean, really, you know, you talk about taking piano lessons at a young age, and it's this lifelong investment.
Yes, for sure. Yes.
So, yeah, that's something that's unique, I think. if, okay, since you're involved in the whole world of Broadway, I thought it would be kind of fun to end with a question. And because I'm here too, I love Broadway, and I'm here seeing as many shows as I can fit in this weekend. What are your top five Broadway shows? I know that's such a tough question.
Ever?
Yeah.
Okay. I would say, well, I have to say The Prom is my first one. That's okay. Written by Matt Sklar.
And you directed.
I did. That. I music directed that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Matt Sklar, Chad Bagelin, and Bob Martin wrote that piece, and Casey Nicholaw directed it. And it's just really special to me because it was like my Broadway debut as a conductor.
Oh, that's a good one to...
Yeah, it's really exciting. What else? I'm going to try to think of ones that I love to play. West Side Story, which I also was lucky enough to do on Broadway, the most recent revival of that show.
Okay.
And that's just...
Wait, so is that coming...
We did that. That opened in 2020, February 2020.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So right before the shutdown.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. So that one is another longtime favorite. And then it's like Cousin on the Town is another favorite of mine, the score from that show. Lion King, which was the first Broadway musical that I saw when I was younger. I believe that's correct. And then I'll go with Hamilton.
I know,
standard. Yeah. Standard response.
I know, so great. So have you seen... Did you get to see that with, like, the original cast and everything?
Since
you live here?
I didn't see it with the original cast. I saw it while I was studying to conduct the show.
Oh, okay.
And then my experience at Funny Girl kind of eclipsed that. Or the pandemic, really. Mm-hmm. I did a put-in, which is basically, like, this huge rehearsal with mics and lights and everything that the cast does when someone new is going into the show. So, like, my put-in was the same day as a few other cast members, and that happened right before the pandemic. So I never got to conduct the show itself after all that.
Oh, shoot. But, okay, but you did.
I did get to see it in that process.
That is exciting. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's really exciting.
Yeah.
And where can our listeners go to find out more about you?
My website is MegZMusic.com.
Okay. I know. When you're on the spot, it's like, what is my website? But I'll pop links to that in the show notes as well, so that everyone can go see what you're up to and learn more about Maestra and the mentorship and workshops and everything that they have. So
great.
So thank you for squeezing me in on such a busy day.
Thank you, Carly. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too. And there you have it. I hope that hearing from someone who has a career and life in the music industry is inspiring for all young musicians out there who perhaps have interest in pursuing a career in music one day, and that you've just gained a deeper appreciation and understanding of what goes into becoming a working professional musician. I personally loved Meg's encouragements to practice and to seek out collaboration opportunities and chances for growth. And I hope that those encouragements will be something you'll take to heart no matter what you're doing in life, because those are just important life skills. After our interview, I had the chance to attend a performance of Funny Girl on Broadway, which is a show that Meg was the assistant music director for. And it was an absolutely incredible experience. And because of just having chatted with Meg a few hours before seeing it, I just had such renewed respect and appreciation for all the artists that are involved in the work and the grueling schedules that are involved with bringing a musical to life for an audience to enjoy. So to learn more about Meg Zervulis, as well as the nonprofit that she is part of, Maestra Music, check out this episode's show notes at busykidsdopiano.com/podcast/95. Thank you so much to Meg for sharing her experiences with us here on the Busy Kids Love Music podcast. I hope you've enjoyed learning more about Broadway in these last couple of episodes, and I look forward to connecting with you again in 2 weeks when the next episode of Busy Kids Love Music airs. Bye for now.